Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. We are on the last issue of this particular Grimm Fairy Tales collection, so let's go ahead and get into the episode. The last issue we're doing is the Robber Bridegroom. Stop it! It was pencils and inks were done by Josh Meadows. Colors were done by Mark McNabb, and letters again were by Art Monkeys. This is, I think I told you guys this before, this is one that I was unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. The only one I had anything close to was a, what'd you say it was?
The Corpse Bride.
Yeah.
And it's just similar, it's not anywhere near the same.
Yeah, exactly. Again, these are loosely based. So.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, the Corpse Bride isn't actually anywhere near this actual story. It's more along the lines of, it just has a similar, evil
through
character
line.
In it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we start out. And we've got these two friends, Tara and Betsy. Betsy really, I mean, she's going to disappear here in a second, so it really doesn't matter.
She got a name.
It's true. but they're going to this party. I'm assuming these are high schoolers as well. They don't actually
say. They
look
like high schoolers.
Yeah. And so they go.
Actually, what was her name?
Which one? That one?
Tina.
Tara.
Tara. When she's walking up the stairs and stuff, she almost looks like she's got some kind of deformity. Like, she's got that, like, superhero walk to her, you know? Like, she can't move her.
My muscles are too big.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But that leads, yeah, they get to the party. Betsy goes to meet up with her boyfriend.
Scott, who also has a name.
Mm-hmm. And
they're getting better at naming people.
Yay! Well, six issues in.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a minute.
It's like, hey, guys, remember all those people that had no names?
Tara is
looking for John.
Yep.
Who asked her out. Not quite her boyfriend, but he had asked her after the movies or
they
something.
Were starting a relationship.
I gotta make this comment. Until this point, actually, every single woman on here is literally like a size D cup. Like,
yeah,
there hasn't been anyone under like large boob.
Hey, welcome to comics.
Well,
exactly, but
these kind of
it was worse in the 90s.
Yeah, because everybody had like triple E's.
Well, everybody had big tits, big ass, skinny waist.
Mm.
And a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Oh.
Where's my
these are? I mean, right? These start to get. What was that?
Where's my flat-chested woman? Right, like, come on.
Well, these start to get a little more realistic.
Then again, well, I'm directing this more like Marvel and DC. Those boys.
Yeah. But yeah, so Tara's looking for John, and she goes upstairs because that's where Scott said he was, and she comes into a bedroom where John is
feeling up another girl,
putting the moves on Michelle.
Yeah.
And who is her sister?
And he looks like he's going to murder her.
Yeah, dude, he looks creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
Of course, this is probably Michelle's. Well, they're what are they? Twins or they?
No, they're just sisters. She's younger.
Michelle's younger, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so creeping on her younger sister. Like, what?
Again, if this is a high school party, which it could be a college party.
Dude's got a. Nah, I bet you it's high school. Because they look pretty young.
Either way, they might
it's just a high school party. Because she says he's the hottest. Well, I guess just hottest guy at school. So it doesn't actually say. But
okay. So if it's high school, let's say that John and Tara are 18.
He's just like 17.
Michelle could be 17.
Mm. But I don't mean creeping and like being like literal creep, but like
no. But look at the look on his face.
He looks like
yeah, I saw that. It definitely is very.
The look on his face and the hand on the shoulder is like your skin's soft. I can't wait to wear it.
I just like to throw something out here.
What?
This is supposed to be the most handsome dude in school. And he kind of looks like a
goblin?
Trash goblin, yeah.
Yeah, he's not that good looking.
Well, you, did you also see Scott or some of the other people?
Yeah, fair enough,
yeah,
I guess.
He was pretty rough looking.
The party?
Like, yeah, well, Scott also looks like he's a 40-year-old dude with, you know, dyed hair that's creeping on a college chick.
That's a good point. So Tara walks in on these two. Yells at Michelle and then goes running off. Michelle is following after her sister and they get into a nice little fight. Basically, Tara's yelling at Michelle saying, you knew I liked him. He had just asked me out, all this. Michelle's like, nothing happened. He just saw me and we just started to do things. But nothing actually happened just yet. And they just, you know, start calling each other names. You know, tramp and slut and bitch and all that. And then,
who comes to the rescue? Marcella Mathers.
And she's got her book, of course, and she wants to tell these two a tale because she's like, these are not how sisters are supposed to act to each other. Which, okay, sure. So she starts in on the tail. And similar, we've got these two girls who are sisters who are wandering through town, and they see this gentleman come riding in on his horse. So this
dude,
individual, is revealed to be Prince Ivan. And he sees the two sisters, Misha and Tendra. And he kind of has something for Misha, the younger of the two. And Tendra is not happy with that. She is kind of jealous.
Mm-hmm. Like every picture, she looks like a pouty, angry
yeah.
kind.
Oh, yeah.
Gritted teeth, squinted eyes.
Angry bust.
Mm. Imagine angry Tinkerbell.
Yeah, well, angrier.
Yeah.
Tinkerbell is still cute, even though she was angry.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So he invites Misha and Tendra out for a picnic lunch. Although I find it funny because they're laying on a blanket out on a hill, and I don't see any picnic baskets or any food.
Well, you don't know what he was eating.
Well, I know what he's going to eat.
You know what the used euphemisms back in the medieval days.
Uh huh.
Let's have a picnic.
I've got a dry mouth.
Yeah.
Better wet it down before you fair maidens want to help me pack a picnic lunch.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I brought a nice baguette.
He's like, I need a box lunch.
So, oh God.
So he is infatuated with Misha to the point where he goes to
their dad,
the blacksmith, and asks for her hand in marriage. And he's like, it'd be an honor.
He's like yeah, of course. Take that bitch off my hands. Oh,
No, that's the other one.
Yeah.
Tendra is super fucking upset by this.
Like so angry she's got a purple aura around her head.
Yeah, like all her sister is getting all this attention. And it's like she doesn't deserve it. She just, the one time she leaves the house and this guy comes into town and is just loves her, that it's not possible. To the point where she decides that the very next day she's going to take her on a picnic to, well, she said originally the valley, but then decided that if it's going to be the last day that you are going to be, I'm going to see you for some time, and you'll be, you know, my sister and not a married woman, we should go to the top of the canyon wall. So they're like, okay, cool. So they go up there and they watch the sunset. And Tendra is, like we said earlier, jealous. So much so that she pushes Misha off the edge.
So she does take her to the valley.
Yeah. Well, she ends up in the valley.
Which, crazy how quick she turned on her sister. Just like, ugh.
Well.
But, hey, jealousy.
Different time. Yeah, or jealousy
envy.
Would do...
Envy, like I said before.
Envy and jealousy.
Yeah.
Like a combination of both.
I always think jealousy is like envy light. Because like,
envy that's
is
fair.
Like super intense. Like, oh my god, I could literally kill you for this.
Which, I mean, Tendra mm-hmm. did. And so the prince comes back into town.
Let's go with the, you know, there's her father and her standing over the grave. And she's like, oh, I can't believe she's gone. Why did I let her get so close to the edge? It's all my fault.
Yeah. Well, and she's going to keep that secret that she secret? Died okay, or that she killed her sister till her grave. Mm-hmm. So the prince comes back into town and goes to see his... bride-to-be dead, visits the grave, and is consoling Tendra, and she basically just throws himself on her.
Like, mm-hmm. hardcore, like, I'm so sorry I can't help seeing you in pain, and she's like, I miss her terribly, just hold me, and, like, she gets this big hug from him, and then as soon as, like, he half breaks up, she freaking starts kissing him.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes derp hardcore.
Well, he was surprised.
Yeah.
So it's enough surprise to become a dirt
and
face.
Plus we can't see where her hands are, so you never know what else she was
doing. Yeah, fair.
Goose.
But he decides to marry her instead, which, you know, the father's still okay with.
Yeah. He's like, just take them. I don't care. Just mm-hmm. take one of them. Fuck.
Well, it's just one of the things like, oh, you're a prince. Yeah, you're going to marry my daughter. I'm going to be rich. Sure. The Prince Ivan takes Tendra, is getting ready to take Tendra to his kingdom, and he's going to send for their dad in a couple days.
Occasion she will never forget. Mm-hmm.
So as they come up to the kingdom, I would say it's what? a day's ride.
3 days.
Did he say three days?
He said it was a 3 day ride to his kingdom.
Okay. So 3 day
which
ride.
Which is what happened when she killed, because that's how she had so much time when she killed her sister. Because he was like, it's a 3 day ride to get to my kingdom, but I'll be back as soon as preparations are made.
Okay.
Because preparation age feels good on the whole.
Yeah. So they get back into the town, or to the castle.
He carries her across the threshold to
which
creepy...
is the drawbridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To creepy stares from all the people that are in his castle.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's just giving these, like, greedy, hungry looks. Mm-hmm.
All their heads are tilted down and they're smirking really weirdly.
Yeah.
Little lip smacking.
So, as Tendra's getting... she's starting to get ready for the dinner for tonight. Her handmaidens, I guess you'd call them.
Well, first of all, I just like to say, when he says come, we have preparations to make, dude, I totally thought she was going to get raped. Like, this one right
here. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That right there, like...
well, the
looks, way that they were looking, yeah. I was like, oh, bitch is going to get raped.
So they are scrubbing her for in the bath for dinner. Mm-hmm. She asks why they're doing that. And
tonight, you and the prince will consummate your union. We will bathe you before dinner.
Yeah.
And they look at each other and smile.
Yeah, they have that side-eyed smile. And then they clothe her.
And then they keep telling her tonight's a night that you'll never forget. Mm-hmm. Did you say to touch her boob?
No, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's...
yeah, I think that's her hand.
Her hand, yeah.
Okay, she touches her own boob.
That's fine. People could do that.
He's like, are these things okay? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. And so she comes down to the dinner table.
And it's completely empty.
Except, and the king's like the only one with a goblet except one of their bro. Which threw me off when I was looking at him like, really? They didn't want to draw any food?
No. Well, no. Cause...
no, dude. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I know.
The table was empty, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she is wondering what's going on. And then she hears the... the
good
prince.
Evening, my dear. It's a shame that your lovely sister could not be here with us. She was younger, her meat a little more fresh. And then she's like, I don't understand. And he turns around and he's got like this fucking glowing red eyes and these really sharp teeth. And he says, but you'll serve just as well. And then you know, they all attack her and start cutting into her.
Oh, notice though that skin changes, everything. Their human forms
goblins.
Change.
Mm-hmm.
They're goblins.
Like, yeah.
Notice that the... one of the handmaidens pushes her into the group, similar to how Tendra pushed Misha off the cliff. And they start digging in.
And eating.
Knives going crazy, teeth going crazy.
Mm, blood dripping everywhere.
And that's the end of that tale. Come back to the real world. Mm-hmm. And
the sisters both have this glazed over look on their eyes. I was trying to say the tale of like them like hyper-focusing on the story. Almost.
Yeah, it's similar to what you were saying before, how you kept making parallels of these characters in the story looked like the characters that are reading the story or being told the story. Mm-hmm. It's almost like...
because they're putting themselves in their places.
Yep, and they are being drawn into it. Mm-hmm. And so they are, like we saw in Red Riding Hood, she had the scrape and the leaves. They are...
she's literally being
in
drawn
the story.
Into the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're feeling everything. They're going through the emotions, which is why they're able to come up with these like perfect example of where Michelle and Tara are like, we that was crazy. I love you. I'm sorry. Everything went wrong. I don't want a guy to come between us. Mm-hmm. You know, this is Dr. Stella Mathers. You know, being helpful again, which is good. That's where we end that story. We'll do a quick... they have a... I think this was for the trades only. I could be wrong on that. I think they did collect them eventually at some point.
Yeah.
But we have another quick story called Legacy with story by Ralph Tedisco and art by Link Studios. And it's just... it's a quick tale of...
Sela
Mathers and how she got the book. And it's just... we find out that her and her brother... we're wandering. What would you say the time frame would be?
I'd say that's either the late 1800s or the early 1900s, because they're not.
I'm gonna say late 18. I know there's a story that down the road that actually tells it officially. So I'm gonna say late 1800s, maybe even mid to late 1800s.
People are still scared of witches to a point.
No, not well, no, much, because we got electricity here. So maybe it is early 1900s.
That's what I was thinking. It was early 1900s because, like, if you look at his coat, like, he's got, you know, like, almost like an overcoat looking.
Okay.
You know, like the trench coat sort of
thing. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so early 1900s. We don't really know for sure. But they come across this cabin in the woods, and Stella just goes wandering in. She is making fun of her brother Thomas. She sees the book, the fairy tale book, and picks it up. And at the same time she picks it up, we see this old lady say something to her, like, you know, do you always
trespass into strangers' homes? Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, no, no, the door was open, I'm sorry. And he's like, it's no bother, I've been waiting for you. Like, you were the one that was supposed to come. And she's like, I don't understand. It's like, you will. And so she, like, passes out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stella wakes up.
Oh, did we mention the book?
I did mention.
Oh, okay.
Stella wakes up, and behind her, you can see the dresser is all...
Everything's, like, disheveled, and, like, it's yeah. decrepit and falling apart.
So she grabs the book that was laying beside her and finds a path back into town, and town has changed. It's mm-hmm. You've got electricity and
she's like, what is this place? There's... It looks like my old town, but it's changed so much.
And she runs into this old man who, you know, is... has a cane and just the not top hat, but
a hat,
an Amish hat.
Yeah, thank you. And he recognizes her immediately, and he, you know, he grabs her hand and lifts up her arm, or the sleeve on her arm, and sees the scar that she got when she was 12, when she cut herself on the broken window. And he tells her that, and he's like, well, how? She's like, how did you know that? He reveals to her that he ran to the house right after Stella, right after her, and you were gone. It was empty. You were nowhere to be found, and that I'm your brother. Like, this has been... They don't give a time, but he's old. I'm going to say it's been 80 years.
I'd say it's 70. More than, like, 60 years. Okay. Like, he's probably in his 70s.
Yeah, okay. We'd say they were probably 16 when this happened, you know? I mean, that's...
See, I would say...
They were younger.
Younger. Yeah, I would say maybe, like 14 to 15, yeah. Yeah. I guess it was all yeah. here, but...
Yeah, but still, that makes it... It's pretty... Extreme yeah. difference between your...
But, kids. And that ends that little... Mm-hmm. Little Lipidous. Story. We will get more in the next volume.
Finally.
But yeah, so that ends this first trade of Grimm Fairy Tales. I've said it before, I've enjoyed these stories. I've read them numerous times. And I'm trying to get back into them. I dropped off of them around issue 100 or so, and I just stopped reading Zenoscope stuff. But I'm trying to get back into it, and this is a good point for me to get back into them. Mm-hmm. What'd you guys think of the story?
Oh, I loved them. I thought it was great. This, I mean, yeah, I read them when you were first getting them. Yeah. So like
years ago.
Yeah. But yeah, it was nice, and it was like a nice little change, the variation of, you know, the actual fairy tales, mm-hmm. you know. And it's interesting seeing the moral, you know, like, oh, you know, I've actually learned something from this.
It was good to see it brought into like a modern setting, and then like do a flashback story-wise into a old style mm-hmm. setting of what the story took place in.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably still have the same exact things. The taking the character who's in the comic story, but into the old stories, and then, you know, waking up and I'm like, wow, I really need to fix this.
Yeah.
It's like, I love how it was executed. It was excellent.
Awesome.
And the fact that, you know, they were actually, like, they were in the stories, you know, so, like, they were actually feeling everything that was going on. So then, like, when they came back from hearing the story, they were just like, you know, damn.
Yeah.
That's how it could end up being, and, you know.
Yeah, one, I don't know if it was in the second... trade or the third trade, but they do Three Little Pigs, and we will get to that eventually. That one was twisted as fuck, and when we get to it, I'll bring you both back for that one. We'll you'll see what I mean. So, want to thank you, Brandon, for being back on the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Definitely have you back on sometime, and that's we'll sign off here.
Excellent.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with our brand new story arc.